Well, we've been through some challenges over the past year, haven't we? And we're here today because God's big enough. And whatever you're facing today, and whatever problems you came to church with this morning and this afternoon, God's big enough for those too. Thank you so much, father and daughter team. Isn't it wonderful to see a father and daughter sing together? Thank you to everyone who's had a part in the music today. Hasn't it been wonderful all day? Wonderful to see that big group in the choir and a great orchestra, and the specials have just been fantastic. And the congregational singing has been wonderful too. I want to say a big thank you to our staff and to our volunteers who make days like today possible. A lot of people have pitched in to make today happen, and we've been working hard on it for weeks, honestly. And I really appreciate all the work that's happened behind the scenes. So thank you, staff. Thank you, volunteers. Thank you for all that you do. Well, when I get to heaven, I hope my mansion has a theater room. I have to have somewhere to watch the Cowboys and the Mavericks, amen? But I sincerely hope I'll have a DVR, and that on that DVR will be biblical history. I'd love to rewind and go back and watch creation. God spoke and big bang, it happened, right? I mean, I can't wait to go back and see that. Wouldn't you love to go back and watch Moses and the children of Israel just passing through the Red Sea? David and Goliath, Elijah on Mount Carmel. I want to go back and review Jesus walking on the water and feeding the 5,000. Certainly going to watch him calling Lazarus from the dead. I want to see the look on people's faces when that guy came out wrapped in all those grave clothes. That must have been remarkable. One of the days that I hope the Lord Jesus will allow me to watch, I get to see on my theater room DVR, is the day of Pentecost. The believers gathered together in the upper room, the sound of a mighty rushing wind, flames of fire above the believer's head, Peter standing up full of the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 putting faith and trust in Christ. Well, we don't have heaven's DVR, but we do have the Bible. So if you would open it to Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1. The title of the message, and it'll be a brief message, is Preparing for Pentecost. Preparing for Pentecost. We're going to begin our reading in Acts chapter 1. We're just going to read a few selected scriptures about the day of Pentecost, and we'll make a few short applications. So look at Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Then returned they, speaking of the disciples, unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come, when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. Look now at chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Look down to verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see dreams. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Skip ahead to verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now, when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, in prayer. What a day. Now here's what we see. Before the church had buildings and programs and denominations and millions of dollars in the bank, they had a group of people with a mission. Their mission was to glorify God by making disciples of all nations. With not a dollar in the bank, with fewer people than we have here today, and without even a completed New Testament, these Spirit-filled believers got the gospel to the uttermost. And it began on the day of Pentecost. Now, the day of Pentecost has what I would call some spectacular events. First of all, we see the baptism of the Holy Spirit on a group of people. The flame of fire, the sound of a mighty rushing wind. That won't ever happen again. There will never be a baptism of the Holy Spirit on a group of people. We are indwelt with the Holy Spirit the moment we trust Christ as Lord and Savior. Another spectacular event is, of course, Peter and the other apostles speaking in strange tongues. By the way, it was not charismatic jibber-jabber. There was no hamana-hamana, okay? They heard Peter and the others speak in their own language. 1 Corinthians 13 and 14 teaches that when tongues were done away with when the completed word of God came. So the speaking in tongues won't happen again. So the spectacular events of the day of Pentecost are what I would say unrepeatable. On the other hand, there were some aspects of the day of Pentecost that I would call standard. For instance, believers gathering in unity in prayer, much like we have here today. The believers leaving that gathering full of the Holy Spirit to declare the gospel to people who did not know. Peter standing up, one man, and simply declaring the resurrected Christ. And when he did, people were cut to the heart, they trusted in Christ, and they were added to the church. Now, the spectacular events of the day of Pentecost were unrepeatable. They won't happen again. But the standard aspects of that day must be repeated time and time again. When believers are filled with the Holy Spirit and they leave the four walls of their gatherings and work together to declare the gospel, souls will be saved and people will be added to the church. Now, here's the whole idea of the message. Pentecost did not happen in a vacuum. It was not accidental or random. It happened, first of all, because it was the plan of God. But it happened, secondly, because there were a people prepared for Pentecost. You see, in Acts chapter 1, 120 believers gathered in an upper room and got themselves ready for the great blessings that God would pour out at Pentecost. I don't know about you, I want to be part of seeing the standard events of a day like Pentecost happen again and again and again. Don't you? Don't you long to be in a church that's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? Don't you long to hear the gospel preached with power and to see sinners saved and added to the church? Those kind of things didn't stop at Pentecost. They've been happening for 2,000 years, and they can happen again. And I'm praying that God would use us as Worth Baptist Church during the next chapter of our church, and that the next chapter of our church will be the best chapter of our church. I don't know about you. I'm glad the chapter labeled pandemic is over. Yeah, amen. And I hope it stays over, and I hope we don't ever go back there again. And I believe with all of my heart that the next chapter of our church will be the great chapter of our church. Amen. And that we will see souls saved and people added to the church, and that we will reach our city for Jesus Christ. Now let's ask ourselves, what did happen in Acts chapter 1 that made the people ready for Pentecost? How did they prepare themselves for the blessing that God would give? We'll look back at Acts chapter 1 and look at verse 4. This is the record of the ascension. And being assembled together with them, commanded them, Jesus, to the disciples, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of us. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And so when we picked up the reading earlier, that's what we saw. The disciples leave the Mount of Ascension. They come into Jerusalem. They get in an upper room, and they just wait. No preaching, no witnessing, no sending missionaries, no starting churches. Why? Because the Holy Spirit hadn't come. And they recognized, because of what Jesus told them, that they were powerless without the Holy Spirit. Now, what happens in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, is what makes Acts chapter 2 possible. I want you to look at this verse. Jesus tells the disciples, but ye shall receive power. Isn't that what happened in Acts chapter 2? All my drowsy Baptists said, I know this is nap time, but y'all stay with me now. But ye shall receive power. That happened in Acts chapter 2. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 makes Acts chapter 2 verses 41 and 42 possible. If the apostles had not left the Ascension Mount committed to Acts chapter 1 verse 8, there would have never been an Acts chapter 2 verse 42. So I want to pull from these verses a few practical principles in about 10 minutes, I think, and tell us how we as a church can prepare for the blessings that I think God has in store for us in the days ahead. Number one, if we want to prepare for Pentecost, we need to belong to the people of God. Belong to the people of God. Now, it's simple, but don't take it for granted. Jesus said, but ye shall receive power. Now, in West Texas, we have a word for that. It's the word y'all. It really means you all. It's the plural you. Who is Jesus making this promise to? To the people of God. The people of God. Those who are saved, those who are baptized, and those who on the Ascension Mount are gathered with other believers. And I just want to make a simple point that God does not accomplish his plan through programs, through the media, through government, through organizations, through social media. He accomplishes his plan in this world through a people, a specific people. We call them the local church. And if we want to experience the blessings that God has for us, we need to belong to the people of God. Now remember, you have 120 people after the ascension gathered in an upper room. What were they doing? Well, as we said, they were waiting. Waiting for the power of God to fall from heaven in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to think about it. How did they spend the 10 days in between the ascension of Jesus and the coming down of the Holy Spirit? Well, I want you to notice it. Look at verse 14 of chapter 1. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Something similar is said in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So how did they spend this time waiting on the Holy Spirit? They spent it in prayer and unity. Here's the point. The Spirit of God longs to empower people who are prayerful and people who are together. No prayer, no power. No unity, no power. One of my favorite symbols of the Holy Spirit in the Bible is the symbol of a dove. A dove. What do you know about doves? Doves are sensitive birds. And if the conditions aren't right, the dove will fly away. Folks, when the Holy Spirit looks on a group of people who are fussing and fighting with one another and they're not together, the power of the Holy Spirit just flies away. When he sees people who don't pray, who think y'all can handle this on your own, the power of the Holy Spirit flies away. His presence will never leave you as a New Testament believer, but his power can leave you. The conditions have to be right. And the conditions were a people of prayer and a people of unity. And I think if there are two things we need to focus on in the days and months ahead as we relaunch and go forward as a church, it's prayer and unity, because those things bring the power of God. So beginning next week, I'm glad to report we're going to bring back our Sunday evening prayer meetings. 5:30 p.m. men and ladies prayer meetings. And during our Wednesday night services, we're going to give more time than we've been giving to corporate prayer. And I'm going to ask you, if you come on Wednesday nights, to find a prayer partner. And we're going to turn this house into a house of prayer again. When it comes to the matter of unity, first of all, I want to commend you. During a time of cultural division and hatred, when everybody's fighting about everything, I think by and large, as a church, we've stayed united. And I think there's a lot to be encouraged about. As I think back over the last year, there have been some real difficulties in it, but there have also been some unexpected blessings. I've seen some real spiritual growth from many of our people. God's people have been put, as it were, into the fires of trial. And the fire has strengthened many of you. I see so many of you hungrier for God's word than you've ever been before. I think many of you would testify to the fact that you're a more prayerful person than you were before. You've needed to pray during this difficult time. And I know there are a lot of couples in our church who would say our marriages are stronger, our families are stronger as a result of what we've gone through. And I've heard so many testimonies in recent days about the spiritual growth of our people, and I've been encouraged by that. Now, that's, of course, not to say we haven't faced some difficult moments. Over the last year, we've had to make some really tough decisions. And you know, when you're a leader, you think about decisions and you hope that there are very few no-win decisions that you have to make. Well, myself and the staff and the deacons, we've had to make a lot of no-win decisions over the last year. And every decision we've made, we've either been criticized for playing it too safe or being too aggressive. And looking back, I wish that I could have some of those decisions back. I mean, I wish I knew then what I knew now about the pandemic and everything we've come to learn about it. We certainly didn't. Some of the decisions were right, but they weren't easy and they weren't popular. So what I want to ask you folks as a church family to do is be gracious enough to just say this. You know, I might have done it differently and I might have made a different decision here and there. But I'm willing to believe the best about the motives behind the decisions, to grant forgiveness where forgiveness needs to be granted, to put the pandemic and all that happened in the past, and to join arms with God's people and move forward to the next chapter in one heart, in one mind, and let's be together. And if we're going to experience the power of God in the next chapter of our church, we have to be together. And that means on days like today, we have to be willing to grant some forgiveness and move past the past. I'm so grateful for the gracious spirit that many of you have had over the last year. Every week, I'm talking to pastors who are leading churches that are full of division and fussing and fighting. Pastors who are ready to quit and throw in the towel. By God's grace, it has not been that way here. Amen. I've received very little of that kind of thing. And you folks have been so very kind and encouraging. And I think for the most part, we haven't just survived the pandemic. I think we've really thrived in it. And I think there are some great days ahead. Just a few happy things to report to you. Our attendance is coming back strong. Wasn't it great to see the house packed today? To be all under one roof. And we're going to keep the 8:30 service for a little while because there are some who still aren't real comfortable with big crowds. My hope is that the 11 o'clock service will just fill up and the 8:30 service will do the same. And we'll have two great crowds of people on here on Sunday morning, but we'll see. And I really do believe, looking at all the things I'm looking at, the attendance reports and all of that, that we'll be back to our pre-pandemic attendance by the end of 2021. We're going to get our buses running. We're going to get our RU folks back. And I have no doubt here in the next really 3 or 4 months, our attendance will be back right where it was before the pandemic. That's something to rejoice in. I mean, we're pretty much 5/6 of the way back now without some of those things going. So God's been really good. I rejoice in that. I think another thing that I'm encouraged about is that more and more of our people are volunteering to serve. Wasn't it great to see the choir loft packed today? Well, the Corey said there were 40 people at choir practice last week, and we've had great interest in the orchestra. And I can't wait to hear from our ministry leaders about how the ministry fair went. And I think more and more people are getting involved in serving, and we definitely need that to happen, and I'm excited about it. Another thing I'm really encouraged about is that giving has been nothing short of miraculous during the pandemic. Thank you for being so faithful in giving both to the general fund and missions. And we are right on par here in 2021 financially with where we were in 2020 and 2019. It really has been incredible. There's been no drop off at all. So what I'm trying to say is there's a lot to be encouraged about. There's a lot to praise the Lord for. That's why we're calling today a day of celebration. God has guided us to this point. Now, as we think about Acts 1:8, just a reminder, the promise was made to the people of God. So if you're part of the local New Testament church, let's pray together and let's stick together in the days ahead so we can see God's power. And if you don't yet belong to Worth Baptist Church, we're going to have an invitation here in just a moment. And I can't think of a better Sunday to join than a Sunday like today, and I hope you will. So number one, if we want to prepare for Pentecost, we need to belong to the people of God. Number two, we need to depend on the power of God. I love this. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll have more than activities or religious routines. You'll have power. Power. Power comes with the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite little stories is a story about the little boy who was taking a tour throughout his child's father or his father's childhood church. They were walking through the foyer of the church and they saw a plaque. And the plaque said, "This is a memorial to those who've died in the service." So the little boy looked up to his father and said, "Dad, which service did they die in? The Sunday morning service or the Sunday night service?" Now, I've been in some dead churches. How about you? Where if people didn't die, they wanted to before it was all over. I don't know about you. I don't want to be part of a dead church. I want to be a part of a church where the power of God is regularly on display. Where people sing to the Lord with all their hearts like we've heard today. I want to be part of a church where people are hungry and enthusiastic for the preaching of God's word. I want to be part of a church where people respond to the preaching of God's word and they flood the altars when God has spoken to their heart. I want to be part of a church where lost souls are coming down the aisle being saved and following the Lord in believers' baptism, don't you? Now, here's the promise from Acts 1:8. The power of God belongs to the people of God. And if you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, you have every bit of power you are ever going to have. The power of God is for the people of God. And I want you to know there's no power shortage in heaven. If he did it on the day of Pentecost, he can do it in 2021. If he did it before the pandemic, he can do it after the pandemic. There is no power shortage with God. So number one, belong to the people of God. Number two, depend on the power of God. Number three, live for the purpose of God. Now, this is so important. He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and the immediate result of that, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." The result of the power of God upon the people of God is that the people of God live for the purpose of God. How many of you understand today that God is not in the business of empowering you for your purpose? He's not all that interested about your purpose. He's interested in his purpose. His power is for his people, but only when they live for his purpose. You know, that's exactly what we see in Acts chapter 2. The believers are gathered in unity of prayer. The Holy Spirit comes down in power. And what do they immediately do? They leave the four walls of that upper room. They go out into a lost and dying world. They preach the gospel, become the witnesses that God has called them to be, and people get saved. God has not sent the power so we can stay in the four walls of this church and enjoy the power for ourselves. God has sent the power so that we might go out of these four walls and live for the purpose of God. And the purpose of God is that we'd be witnesses. That's all Peter did. He stood up on the day of Pentecost and talked about the things that he had seen and heard. That Jesus died on the cross. That he was buried. That he rose from the grave. And as Peter preached that message, the Spirit of God convicted hearts and people came to Christ. And the same thing will happen today when Spirit-filled believers leave their gatherings and declare the risen Christ. People will be pricked to the heart. They will come to Christ. They'll be added to the church. Would you like to see something like the day of Pentecost at Worth Baptist Church? I would. Well, if you want to see it, we've got to prepare. You prepare by belonging to the people of God. You prepare by depending on the power of God. You prepare by living for the purpose of God. And you prepare by working the plan of God. Look at what it says. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, those of you who are Bible students know that this is an outline of the book of Acts. What you see is the church taking the gospel to Jerusalem, taking it to Samaria, then taking it from there to the uttermost parts of the world. This was not only an outline for the book of Acts, it was a playbook for the lives of the apostles. This is the play they ran for the rest of their lives. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They started in Jerusalem, and from there, they took the gospel to the uttermost. Now, I've had you mark this before, but I want you to mark it again. Mark the word in verse 8, both. Then mark the word, and. Don't get this. The plan of God was not just that the people would reach either Jerusalem or the uttermost. The plan was that every Spirit-filled believer would have a part in reaching people both in Jerusalem and in the uttermost. And this is always the temptation that the church faces. Are you with me? Say amen. I'm almost done, okay? All right. This is always the temptation that the church faces. For us to either be involved in reaching Jerusalem or to be involved in reaching the uttermost. To think that because I teach Sunday school or run a bus route, that I don't have to go on a short-term mission trip or I don't have to give money to missions. Or this is much more the temptation that I've seen for people to write a check to missions and think they've done their part for the Great Commission. Amen. The truth is that God hasn't called us either to reach our Jerusalem or to reach the uttermost. He's called every single one of us to be involved in making disciples both in Fort Worth and in the uttermost. And what we want to have here is a both and church. A church that is just as fired up about reaching people in Africa as they are Fort Worth. And a church that's just as fired up about reaching people in Fort Worth as they are reaching people for Africa. If we want to prepare for Pentecost, we've got to be committed to become both and Christians. And the apostles were. They worked the plan of God. So what does it take to prepare for Pentecost? You got to belong to the people of God. Do you belong? Number two, you've got to depend on the power of God. It won't be the preaching of a pastor or the excellence of a music program or the beauty of buildings. It will be the power of God on the people of God that gets the job done. Number three, you got to live for the purpose of God. You got to be about it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the reason we live. And number four, you've got to work the plan of God. What's the plan for bringing Worth Baptist Church all the way back? For growing in the future? It's Acts 1:8. The people of God, for with the power of God, living for the purpose of God, working the plan of God. This is what we do. Let me close with one last quote. Robert Coleman wrote a little book called The Master Plan of Evangelism. That little book has changed my life, and if you've never read it, I commend it to you. Here's what he said. World evangelism is the divinely ordered goal for all of us. Not only is it attainable, it is inevitable. Whether or not we believe it, someday the gospel of the kingdom will be heard to the ends of the earth. The God of the universe will not be defeated in his purpose. Any activity not in step with God's design for human destiny is an exercise in futility. The sooner we realize this and align our way with his, the sooner we will be relevant to eternity. And I don't know about you. I want to personally be relevant to eternity. And I want to be part of a church that is relevant to eternity. I wonder how many of you would say that today. I want my life to matter. I want to align myself with God's plan. I want to be part of a church. It's not just showing up and singing and having church, but a church that's making disciples, a church that's relevant to eternity. So, Pastor, as we move forward, I'm going to be praying. And as we move forward, I'm going to be together. And whatever it takes for me to be unified with my faith family, that's exactly what I'm going to do. You know, maybe, Pastor, during the quarantine, I was kind of to myself. Maybe I wasn't sharing the gospel like I used to. But from here on out, I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to live for the purpose of God. and do everything I can to get the gospel to people who are lost and dying. And I'm going to believe that not only can God send a revival, I'm going to believe and live like He will. And I'm going to prepare my life and be part of a church of people who have prepared their lives for another day like Pentecost. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the way that You've brought us providentially through the last year. We have much to rejoice in and so much to be encouraged about. And today has been a red letter day in the history of our church. I pray that today is not only a day where we enjoy the good things of God, but a day when we as a people will recommit to the things that make a church in the first place. Help us to belong. Help us to depend on Your power. Help us to live for Your purpose and to leave this place and work Your plan. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.